Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us to come together in your house of worship. Thank you for the folks that's come, and we have folks that aren't with us that we need to lift in prayer. We think of Mary Lee, Matheny and Russ. We think of Trudy and Ronnie Burge, and Trudy's mom, Karen, passed away last night. So we just pray that your son, Jesus, will fill that void in that family. Lift them in prayer. We have also praises, you know, for this holiday season. We know that some have lost loved ones, and the holiday isn't as bright as maybe it could be with others. But we want to lift them up, and we want to feel that we want everyone to feel this morning your presence at their side, just knowing that you will never forsake them, never be separated from them. And we just pray that those in need today can just find themselves in the arms of your son Jesus this morning. Pray that your Holy Spirit will be in our midst. We'll own this service, and we just want to give you all the praise and glory for all the warmth and fellowship and joy that we have here this morning. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We'll go right into our Advent with Carolyn. She also has special music. Those of you who have special music or have a need for a mic, I'll set you up.
Yeah.
So, do you, Carolyn, do you think you...
Yeah, I probably will. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, our Advent service today begins with, "We have listened to obscure messages from ancient prophets. In their words, we have caught glimpses of the light that is promised. Now though the wreath is ablaze and all the candles of anticipation have been lit, still there is one last prophecy to hear. With eyes wide open, ears attuned, and hearts unguarded, we gather around the wreath one last time, longing to receive the word within the words." And Trey's going to read the scripture for us today.
All right, this is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep, deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's blood used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this."
This day, these words are fulfilled in our hearing and in our living, for the promise of God has come to us. Our lives are the manger in whom the Christ child is born. Let me repeat that, because I love that line. Our lives are the manger in whom the Christ child is born. No longer do we seek light from another source. Now the light burns in our hearts, and we become love's lamp. So we light the candle at the center of our wreath and our faith. You want to read it like that, Trey? "And we light it in the name of the one who is the light. And as Mary did so long ago, we name this light Jesus." bear with me while I get ready to do this. Oh, are you bringing it for me? All right. Okay. I'll let you fix on that while I work on this. I could not find good accompaniment to this song that I wanted to try for you today. So, once again, I'm trying the iPad, and you know, that's an iffy thing as far as I'm concerned. But we're going to try it today and see if it works. If I get an ad in the middle of the song, I don't know what I do, okay? I'm not sure about that. Thank you, Pastor Mike.
To losing your foot.
Like this.
I'm going to show you the critical signs
like this,
why it happens and what you can do about it.
Okay.
This video could save your life if you're feeling any
or
all of
today.
These symptoms. There's a good chance you're dealing with serious nerve pain numbness in your...
Are you dealing with severe nerve pain
numbness?
Things
and arms tingling in your feet and hands that can sprint.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, let's see if we can get
the legs
this.
And a burning sensation in your feet that never...
Okay, all right. I knew this was not a good idea. I stayed awake worrying about this last night, as a matter of fact. Okay, here we go. We're into YouTube. That's a plus. Okay. Okay. Why don't you say a few words while I do this? That would make me feel better where they're not just sitting there watching me.
Do we have anyone else we need to pray for this morning?
Yeah.
Huh?
I said...
Oh.
Well, I have a praise.
All right, Kim.
I just got a text from my son, Todd, as I was coming in the door, and Harry gets to come home today.
Oh, praise God. Amen.
So Kim called me a few days ago. They're rushing Harry to the hospital.
Yeah.
They think he has meningitis. They're going to do a spinal tap. He's vomiting in tremendous pain and all these fears. And got a call that afternoon and no spinal tap.
No.
And much better.
And we found out why his eyes were so sensitive when he was having a seizure. He scratched his cornea.
Oh.
And that causes a lot of pain.
I cannot get this.
So.
Go ahead.
But we'll take that over the...
Hallelujah,
the
right.
So.
Thank the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. We ought to be shocked when he comes through for us, too.
Just get me into YouTube.
Maybe we'll get Joel. Does Joel know anything about the iPads?
I only did this a half a dozen times this morning, but it, you know, it's not going to do it here. YouTube and then...
Any anniversaries?
Yeah, it acts like it's not getting it.
Next week.
Yeah, we'll worry about next week. Actually, it's tomorrow. Married 70...
Ursula.
53?
Feels
like
it.
That's mine. 53. 53.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Ashley and Nate, January
7th.
Oh.
January 7th.
We're
on this birthday, buddy. Mine is January the 5th.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's Saturday.
Okay. Any other things we need to clear up here this morning? Willie?
My older sister, Vonda, she's 89, fell and broke her hip and left arm, and she is not going well at all.
Yeah.
So we just need to keep her.
Oh, don't ask me password.
She's in Preston Memorial.
Yeah.
She's asking the Lord to come and heal.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
No longer well.
We can do the anniversaries.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready to sing?
Happy anniversary to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy
internet problems is what's happening here.
Now, Colonel, we can sideline you and move somebody ahead.
That sounds like a good idea.
That would be helpful.
Well, I don't know. Ask Nate here.
Well, if Nate can't fish, then he can't be helped. Yeah. No pressure.
All of this first.
I'll work on it well.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to sit here or over here.
This guy right here.
Sit right here, she says. Just go ahead and sit here, she says.
Okay. All set?
No. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go to the next one.
Oh, wait a minute. He might have it.
Okay.
Just a second. No. That's not it. I will never do this again, I promise.
We hope so. We hope you
no,
do.
Not with the iPad.
We got it.
Okay.
Got it?
All right. Got it. All of that.
Good day, Ryan.
Whoa. All right. This is the right word. Yeah, okay. No, just leave. Don't leave until I get it started, okay? I'm afraid to touch anything now.
Back her up.
Okay, your volume's all the way.
Okay. Okay. Hard song to sing too, okay? We'll know the title in just a moment. Oh, grief. This is so embarrassing. Ah. It's not doing anything. What do I do here, Nate? Grief. You just quit.
Drinking warm water before bed balances blood sugar levels and reverses type 2. Thousands of
this
people
has provided
are
a lot of laughs for the program, hasn't it?
Every night is
okay, right here they are. Watch we go through all this and I'll flub this song up royally, okay? No doubt. Oh, I don't know what's happening.
It's just the internet connection.
Oh, it's not very good today at all.
I'll just make the noises for you if you want.
Go ahead.
What's the number? Maybe let's... I'll try to get it to load fully and then I can come back to it. You want to try to... Go
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, you do that.
All right. I'm going to let it load through. So we'll
He's going to let it load through, and then so do something else, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah. Sorry about all this.
All right. Well, don't apologize. We're going to have Will then read the Christmas story for us. Yeah, just lift her up a little bit.
All right, so I will be reading the Christmas story, Luke 2, 1 through 21, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby in a manger. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which they just had been told. On the eighth day, when it came time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Let's see. We'll just move to the next one, okay? Claude, are you ready for your reading?
Yeah, I can do it.
All right. You want to come up here? Or?
No, I'm going to stay right here.
All right. We'll try to pay attention.
Okay. If thou knewest the gift of God, Christmas is a gift of love that can't be bought or sold. It's ours just for the asking, and it's worth far more than gold. And this priceless gift of Christmas is within the reach of all, the rich, the poor, the young, the old, the greatest and the small. So take God's Christmas gift of love, reach out and you receive, and the only payment that God asks is just that you believe. Christmas is a heavenly gift that only God can give. It's ours just for the asking, for as long as we shall live. If we can't be bought, it can't be bought or bartered. It can't be won or sold. It doesn't cost a penny, and it's worth far more than gold. It isn't bright and gleaming for eager eyes to see. It can't be wrapped in tinsel or placed beneath a tree. For the priceless gift of Christmas is meant just for the heart, and we receive it only when we become a part of the kingdom and the glory which is ours to freely take. For God sent the holy Christ child at Christmas for our sake. So take his priceless gift of love, reach out and you receive. The only payment that God asks is just that you believe.
Amen.
That's great.
Those of you, well, I think everyone here knows Claude, but Claude is a real inspiration to me.
Yeah.
He was here in the beginning.
So I just go ahead and finish this.
And
not quite that long.
he's been kind of the rudder for this church family for a lot of years. We've depended on him, and he's been always willing to step up and give godly advice. He's a man of God's word. And we appreciate having him.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For his blessings.
Yeah. So I guess we'll go to Ben.
It's working now if we want to do this.
Are you ready? Oh, okay.
We think.
Let's try it.
All right.
We're not sure. Okay, we're not sure. All right, pray. Pray for me, would you please? That this works and that I can sing even.
Okay, your volume's all the way up.
Okay. Okay. Just push. You're sure. Okay. This song that I want to sing is it's put together by the Ball Brothers, B-A-L-L, if anyone's familiar with them. And just as a little side note, their family is the family that invented the Ball Mason canning jars back in the 1800s. But a couple of these guys that are in the group are a big ball player, so some of you may know them from that way. But I just wanted to throw that in there. But this song is such an outline of God's redemptive plan for us, so fully from beginning to end, that it just got to me, and I hope it'll get to you too, if this is the first time that you've heard it. And so let's pray before I start, okay? Pray with me, please. Father, again, we come to you. We're just so thankful to be here. this morning. We ask that you'll continue to bless each one who brings glory to you today and this through this program. Let every ear hear and every heart feel the beauty of your plan of redemption for us in this song, and be grateful for all that you've done for us in giving us Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We will try this. We'll see what happens. Okay. You might have to come back again, Nate. He's saying something different now. He's not saying the Ball Brothers. Okay, let me... You think it's just the internet up here? There we go. Okay. It's not all about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross, it's about my sin, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. Oh well, it's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I have won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about the precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of this story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. So that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. Sorry for all the
difference. Better acapella anyway.
No, it would have covered up a lot of my mistakes.
Now, Ben, are you set? Say that woman up there, just give her an elbow out. So you can... Ben's going to play Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thank you. Is Joel singing with me? Lauren and Nancy have a special force.
Nate is joining.
Nate's doing Nate? Okay, great.
They need a professional.
We are seeing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, so if you know it, please sing along. That'd be awesome.
Identified, you know, this is actually Joel's dad.
Right.
not Nathan. Okay, brother.
I'm going to read Psalm 2. And while I read it, just remember that this is a prophecy about Jesus.
Yep.
Why did the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.
I wrote a small little reflection on that. So I'd like to bring the verse that says, kiss the Son, to our attention. We see different people kiss the Lord Jesus in the Gospels. Judas and the woman who washed Jesus' feet and kissed them. We can infer that Mary also probably kissed her son. As Ashley kisses Joel, it's probably happened. The New English translation renders this verse as pay sincere homage. To include that word sincere means that there is a sincere homage or right kissing and an insincere or wrong kissing. Do not kiss Jesus to gain popularity or good standing, only to abandon him. No, you should kiss the Son like Mary and the woman with the oil. They saw Jesus as the greatest gift, one worth more than anything. Mary held God himself and kissed him as we celebrate Christmas. Know that Jesus Christ, who still lives, is able to be held and kissed, and one day you will be able to see him as he is, face to face. Make him your prized possession and kiss the Son.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and sing 197. 197.
Born a king on Bethlehem.
I'm going to ask Becky. Are you ready, Becky? Okay.
Okay, this story is based on a true story, but it's truly fictional. Tobias. Oops, I must be in trouble. My nickname is Toby, and only when it is urgent or I'm in trouble does anyone use Tobias. Except God, who calls everyone by their real name. You see, I am an angel. I don't mean I'm perfect as a real angel, but I am a real angel. I really like to tease and joke with the other angels, and sometimes I get in trouble with my teasing. Tobias, come here. That is God calling me. Tobias, come here. Oh, what did I do now? But I hurry as fast as I can because I don't want to keep God waiting. Tobias, I have a very special mission for you. I am going to send my son to earth to save my people. I need you to go and protect him and guide him as he goes through this journey as totally human. Do you think you can do this? Wow, that's really important. No joking or teasing around now. What? Yes, God, I will do my very best. I know how much you love your son. I must tell you, Tobias, that I will call you back when it is time to remove my protection from my son. I was so excited. Me, Toby, on such a special mission. When do I go, God? Very soon. Do you see that star? As my son grows, that star will go brighter and bigger. Now, my son is beginning to grow as a baby to a young special girl named Mary. You must go and be with Mary as she carries this special baby. Okay, my mission is beginning now. And so I went and found Mary in the garden. I stayed with her and protected her as she traveled to see Elizabeth, and then she returned to Nazareth to be with her husband, Joseph. Pretty easy mission so far. Mary is such a sweet young girl, and Joseph is very protective, too. Soon came the day when the star was really big and bright, and Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. I knew it was close to the time that God's baby boy was to be born. I call him by his name Jesus, for that is what another angel told Mary and Joseph to name him. When they go to Bethlehem, there is no room in any of the inns, so they were given a stable to stay in. God's son was going to be born in a stable with animals all around. Talk about a humbling experience. My job was to protect him, so I made sure the animals were shooed away. Sometimes cows can get a little nosy, you know. And Jesus was born. He was perfect in every way. A very pleasant little thing and so cute. I know humans think all babies are cute, and they are, but this baby was cuter. Of course, I'm just a little bit prejudiced. Then a choir of angels started to sing. They are really loud. I was sure they would wake my little baby. But Jesus just slept and cuddled with his mommy. Now the shepherds were out in the fields watching their sheep. The sheep do not make much noise unless they sense danger. Well, all that singing started getting the sheep stirred up. The shepherds jumped when they heard the singing and became very afraid. Another angel spoke to them and told them what was happening. They decided to go to the stable and see if what they were told was true. And they fell down and worshipped this precious baby. Shortly after, probably a few months at least. I'm not very good telling time here on earth. These rich wise men came to see my baby. They had followed the bright shining star. Oh, that's why God placed this star in the sky. This job is not easy because I have to make sure none of these people coming to see my baby are going to hurt him. They brought him great gifts. Then they went on their way, telling Joseph and Mary to take the baby and go to Egypt. They hurriedly packed their belongings and prepared to leave. I spread my wings to protect them, and no one even knew they had left. They looked for them, but they couldn't find them. I think I did a pretty good job of protecting them. And then the fun began as Jesus grew. He sure did keep me busy protecting him as he crawled and then began to walk and toddled about. After that, he became easier to watch and protect. To think, I, Toby, got to watch God's son Jesus grow into a nice young man. Then the day came when God called me. Tobias, it is time for you to come back to heaven. But I don't want to come back. Jesus still needs me, God. Tobias, but God, who will protect your son? Tobias, I've got this. Just come. Things will get very bad, but you know I am God, and I am able to take care of everything. Well, I did as I was told. Just to let you know, though, I didn't like it that my mission had ended and my baby boy was in trouble and I couldn't do anything. I know most of you know the rest of the story and how things turned out. My advice to you is treasure each day you have with your babies and each other and let God handle everything. After all, He is God and the great I am.
Should have mentioned earlier that we have about four or five nurses in the house today, so if anybody falls or, you know, has any problems, pulls any muscles, we've got a doctor or two. We're in good shape. Now, the next person on the agenda is Shar, and Shar is a hospice nurse. Let me tell you how the Holy Spirit moves. Shar was in our house. I had never met Shar. She came in and was tending to Jan's mom, who, by the way, needs your prayers. She's not doing well at all. But, you know, Shar just started testifying to the Lord. She didn't know me. I didn't know her. And so the more she testified, I thought, wow, we gotta have this at our church. So I asked her to come. Lives over towards Fairmont, right? And had never, of course, been to our church. But I'm going to ask Shar to come up and do her thing. Thank you for coming.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I brought my phone up because I don't want to, you know, over yak. In myself, I'm very quiet, and I'm shy. But when it comes to the Lord and all that He's done for me, I can't keep my mouth shut. Even though I'm shaking here like a leaf, I've got to share my testimony because He's been so good.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not anything special. I'm nobody. But I am a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
He didn't have to, but He loved me and He saved my soul. And I am so ever grateful, so thankful. I say, Lord, you open a door, and I get an opportunity, I'm going to tell them about you, about how good you are. So that's what I'm here to do. As you can tell, I am not Prestonian. Is that how you say it? Right? I'm not Prestonian. I was born in Korea. And before my birth, I was kind of like unwanted child. And I didn't know him. My mother was gracious enough to share the story with me. So, you know, she's under God's grace. She loves the Lord, so it's all good.
Amen.
But testimony's testimony, right? But she was just big with me, and she wasn't married. We was in Korea. It's still poor country. I think only 1% is well-to-do, eating well, sleeping well. But most are very poor still to this day. But when she was big, almost 9 months with me, she decided that, you know, even though she's tried multiple times, she decided she'll go and do away with me. And she went, she found this, you know, the back alley, quote, doctor back then. I mean, y'all, I'm an old girl.
Yeah.
So back in old days, if you could only imagine medical advancement in the third world country. Well, anyhow, she said he injected something into the abdomen and assured her that you'll have, your problems will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So she told me, she says, the baby and her just turned and kicked and turned and kicked all night long. And she thought for sure, yep, it's going to be done, you know. She's going to get rid of the problem. And in the morning, here I was born. And, you know, I know what doctor said and what my mother wanted was to be rid of this child. But God said, uh-uh. Are you kidding? She's my baby girl. You know that I know you have your own conversation with the Lord, right? So this is my interpretation of how God speaks. It's like, child, you're my baby girl. Nobody's touching you. You are fine. But you know, ever since that time, even before I was born, God has put his shield of protection over me and have taken care of me. When I fall, there was no mama, there was no dad. Because, you know, I was left with my grandma, thank the Lord. So, you know, I go outside and I'm so clumsy, always falling, tons of bruises and scabs over my knees and hands. But that's how God was. I see him when I look back, how he just, like a little tiny babe, you know, when they start walking, how mama and papa, they just get right behind him, right? To catch their little bottoms. And I feel like that's what God has done in my life in toddler age. You know, just kind of watch over me. Make sure I don't fall. And just kind of guide my path. Just got here, baby. Over here. And that's how gracious. And I know none of y'all is stranger to ups and downs of this life. But I have to tell you, my grandma was an avid Buddhist. Man, she would bow her head and just rub her hands together and just do that thing that, you know, the Asian people do. I'm sorry. I feel like this is my home because I've been here since I was 10 years old. I was adopted into this beautiful country. So I feel like I'm talking about foreign country. So I have to remember, oh, I'm a Korean. I'm from there. So forgive me if I get a little too comfortable. But she was a Buddhist. But I remember when I was about 3 years old, we walked long ways to get to this rocky mountainside. I didn't know it then, but there was a revival going on. Revival about, you know, our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And how I, at that young age, I heard people all over that rocky mountain just crying out to God, calling out for Jesus to save their souls and just to be of help and hope. And that has instilled in my heart and my mind forever. But my beautiful grandma, when she got saved, she started waking our family up 4:30 every morning. And you watch like those kung fu movies, right? Where the walls are literally paper thin. Yes. It is literally made of paper. Well, we rented a room, just a room with a family of about five. My uncle and aunt was taking care of us. And my grandma would wake us up and have a little service. And she would do it, and we had to do it in whispers because we didn't want to offend our landlord. But we got up, we sang in whispers. She would teach me about Word of God in whispers. And we praised and we prayed. And we thank God for the food that will be there for that day. Because in the cupboards, there was nothing. Not even a grain of rice. But what you know, kids are so innocent and naive and don't know anything. I didn't know I was dirt poor. I just did what Grandma said. I bowed down and I prayed with her and agreed and said that amen. But, you know, as she told those stories in whispers and praised God in whispers every morning. But now I'm able to shout his praise. I'm able to shout the name of Jesus Christ because I'm so blessed here. I am so blessed. This country is so blessed. If you only knew all the persecution that is happening in another country, as I speak right now, and I'm so privileged to be able to praise his name and to speak the name of Jesus. And I got to tell you, I felt like John the Baptist. And remember how he was, you know, out in the wilderness? Well, one day I was fussy girl, right? Little tiny thing. And Grandma knew it was because I was hungry. Well, she just grabbed my hand, grabbed a piece of sheet or something. And we walked to the wheat field. She sat me in a corner of the wheat field. She walked into that, you know, all, I guess it was harvest time or something. She walked into the middle of it, fought the big tall weeds, and then she started just swinging her piece of cloth that she had. And out came the grasshoppers just. And she gathered that thing up with her sheet. A piece of cloth that she brought and lugged it over her shoulders, and we went home. She built a fire, put that nice little black kettle on top of it, start heating up the oil, and then shoved the grasshopper into that pot. And then, you know, I'm just still fussing because I'm hungry, and here she goes, fished it out of the pot, put it on the newspaper, sprinkled some salt over it, and he says, "Here, babe, eat." She says, "Eat." Now, guys, kids, I don't remember what it tastes like. Thank the Lord. Yeah, because I told my kids, and they're like, "Ah, Mom!" I'm like, "Guys, I don't remember what it tastes like. I just remember it being real crunchy and salty, right?" But, hey, I ate grasshoppers like John the Baptist. That's how I view that. I felt pretty special. But I, you know, God has just protected me and watched over me all my life. A lot of you know what it's like to be abused in multiple ways. But God has brought me through that. I should be in a nut house, but I'm not. He has also kept my mind and kept me safe here. He has protected this and this. Just him. Just him gave me peace. I couldn't even lift my eyes because I felt so ashamed of the things that brought into my life. A lot of times not by my choice, but you know, things happen in life. But even through all that, God has brought me through it. He has healed me, healed my heart, healed my mind. You know, sometimes I don't know how God does it. I don't know how he did it. But he made this girl whole, and he's still working on me. That's what's beautiful. He's still working on me. Like, when I went and visit, I would always see Jan. And that's right. I never really saw you there. And, you know, we yak all the time. And while I was testifying, and, oh, Lord, I was preaching to the choir. I'm like, I didn't know he was a pastor. And I'm like, now I understand why such love and acceptance from you, Miss Jan. Because of Jesus, love of Jesus Christ. Because of the very first time I walked, they allowed me to walk into their home. She just hugged me. I'm like, whoa. She just hugged me and treated me like I'm her family. Who does that? Does all Prestonians do that? No, I can vouch for that because I visit many homes. And she's the first one. They just hugged my neck and said, come in, Char, come in. I'm like, oh my gosh, I felt like I've been here forever. But I am privileged with this opportunity to be here to let you know. You know, on the way here, I was thinking, you know, y'all are pretty special people. This church, this specifically. Why? God raised me up through hell. He brought me through that. So that I can tell y'all, Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Jesus loves you. He adores you. You are like the apple of his eyes. He holds you in the palm of his hands. And just, man, he is checking you out all the time. You are never out of his sight. Never out of his sight. Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
Time's fine. I have a song only because God is so good and the beautiful poems and stories. You know, when we think of baby Jesus, I cannot think also of the cross. That innocent, pure babe born to us. And then to look at that little innocent child to know that what that child is going to go through. And he went through it for you and me. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to allow them to pluck his beard and to humiliate him and to put him in shame. But he went through it. I believe, if nothing else, just so that he can say, child, I know what you're going through. And we can't argue with that because he went through it. He knows. Yeah. Far beyond what we're going through. So, boy, Jesus loves you. And just to reflect the song, do you have CD player?
Dad?
Do you have CD player?
I don't know. I don't really know how to work.
Nate? Who's Nate? I know Mr. Nate. If not, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay.
not going to sing. I'm going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Love it.
My transgressions, and that he paid that price a long, long time ago when he gave his life for me on a hill called Calvary. But there's something else I want to know. Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Can he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing him pain? Then I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting him. It seems that I'm so good at breaking promises, and I treat his precious grace so carelessly. But each time he forgives, what if he relives the agony he felt on that tree? Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Can he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing him pain? Then I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting him.
got a Kleenex.
No, you're right.
As they say, Char, that's going to be a hard act to follow. But I know everyone here has been waiting in great anticipation for the encore of Lauren and the Miracles. So bring your handles and come up.
What's the page in?
324. 324. Okay. Where are you going to be? Oh, we're
going to
be over here.
Okay. Won't you move that thing up? Where are you? Won't
you? You want to lift it up? Ours will never be able to see. Mike, do you want to take it out?
You want that? Okay. I'll be sure they can hear it for sure.
Oh, okay.
Those of you that aren't from here probably want us to appear in their church, but we're booked up until the last of March. I'm going to ask Lanny to come. Lanny's my cousin. You've been down the road to different churches. We've had different paths in our lives, but we're cousins. So glad he ended up here with his wife.
The Lord moves me someplace else. I think they can hear me without that.
Okay, I got there close.
Except you. Hey, folks, you put me on here and it sounds like I'm going to give a message preached to you, and that's not true. But what I got to say is I would just want you to think about. And not only tonight, you're going to think about it after you go home. And her testimony is hard to follow. It was great.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do tonight is give you my testimony. And then I want to tell you about my ministry and what God has called me to do. But my wife found out last week that I'm going to do this. And she says, oh, no. I said, what's wrong? She said, you're a little too long-winded to do that. But I promise, it's 12 o'clock. She says, time to go home. But I'm not going to take long. But I started out in a Methodist church. My parents took me to church. And I participated in all the Christmas programs. I sang, which I can't sing. But I'm telling you that because I want you to think tonight. I want you to think about where you're at. Because God has worked a miracle in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
But in the Methodist church, some of the kids in my school class, they got us all together, and I remember we all sat around this big table. We had this little blue book with a white church on it, the steeple. We went through that book, and the next Sunday, the preacher asked us all to come up front and said we were converted. Folks, I did Saturday night. I did what everybody else did, and the bars and everything else. I was no change in my life, so I was not saved at the time. But I did participate in all the programs. I did go to church every Sunday because my parents took me. And that's where I first seen my wife was her and her brothers and sisters. And there was 11 of them. They all went to church. And they was all there. But at that time, she didn't mean anything to me. But so anyway, we went through this class, and they said we were converted. I was not converted, folks. And I see a lot of people go to church because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I respected church. I had a respect for the church and for what it stood for. And I had a respect for God, but I wasn't saved. Mm-hmm. And I heard in my travels, I heard a preacher stand one time in the pulpit that had been preaching for 9 years, was not saved. So it is possible that somebody is sitting in this auditorium today that is not saved. Yeah, you're in church, but you don't know the Lord here. You know him here. Yeah. You can miss God by 18 to 20 inches. It's very, very possible. But in 1971... I was in Nashville, and I came back one weekend and took an 11-hour drive to come back home. I was laying in the living room floor, and I heard some girl's voice in my kitchen. And I raised up, looked, and I seen my wife. That was 53 years ago. We stood together. I don't know why she puts up with me, but she does. But anyway, we got married in February of that year. We got engaged in October of 1971. In February the 6th, we were married. And things changed in my life. 3 months after we were married, we were asked to come to Michigan to live near her brother. He said, "Oh, Lanny," he said, "you're a diesel mechanic. You can double your wages up here." And sure enough, I did, because I was working for $2.50 an hour here. I went up there and started out at $4.75. So we was living with him, and he said, "Lanny," he said, "you're going to go to church with me Sunday, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, we'll go with you." We was staying with him, looking for a place to live. And so we went to church that Sunday. And folks, I can't tell you anything about the sermon. I don't know anything about that. But those people in that church had something I didn't have. They had the Lord in their heart. And so anyway, we went home that day and enjoyed the friendship and the fellowship, but still wasn't saved. So that Thursday night, June the 22nd, 1971, two guys knocked on my brother-in-law's door. And we answered the door, and he said, in the conversation, he'd come from the church. Two soul winners come out from the church and was out to tell us about the Lord. He said, "Lanny, if you die tonight, are you sure you go to heaven? I want to ask you all that. Can you answer that? Do you know for absolutely sure that you'd go to heaven if you die tonight?" I couldn't answer it. And I said, "I don't know." He said, "Would you let me take the Bible and show you how that God made a way for you to get to heaven?" I said, "Sure." We sit down in the living room. My wife sat over here. I sit on this side, and he sat on the couch in the middle. And he said, took the book of Romans and opened it up and showed me how that God made a way for me to get to heaven, how that I was a sinner and that I needed him, needed to accept him. So we both bowed our head that night, about 5 minutes after 8. I remember that so well. But I remember the date because I wrote in my Bible. And folks, you may not ever remember the date, but you should remember the time that it happened to you. I really believe that. You should remember whenever you got saved. Because the Bible says, any man be in Christ is a new creature. Old things are going to pass away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen. That night, we bowed our heads, and I repeated a prayer after him. Not everybody gets saved that way. I've had people repeat prayers after me that just wanted to get rid of me. And they knew that they'd pray that we'd go away, and we did. And he went back in his house unsaved. But it took me a while to see that kind of thing is happening. And so anyway, I took a new job that next Monday. And this was on Thursday. The following Monday, I started this new job. Stayed there 10 years as a diesel mechanic for a company in Michigan. And first week I was there, the guy said to me, he said, "Lanny, we're going over to the bar tonight, have beer at bowling alley." He said, "You want to come with us?" "Well, sure, I'll come." And I did. And let me tell you, I walked in that bar, sat on the bar stool, ordered my Budweiser, and it was not the same as it was before. I was in the wrong place. Amen. And I know for a fact that I took one drink out of that Budweiser and it didn't even taste the same. And I walked out of there, and when I walked out, the doors opened up. Blue sky, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. I've not been back in one since. But just things are going to happen in your life once you get saved that God is going to change, just like he promises that he's going to change things in our lives. We're going to be different. When you go to the grocery store and the clerk makes a mistake and gives you too much change back, are you going to turn around and give it back to them? Or are you going to take it home and say, "I made money today"? See, that's the difference in a Christian and a non-Christian. A non-Christian would probably say, "Oh, well, they made a mistake." And but anyway, to move on, in Michigan, I had this desire to have my own business. But I didn't want to be a mechanic anymore because I got I got kind of burnt out on that, 24 years as a diesel mechanic. And so I wanted my own business. And the Lord gave me a name called Eagle Support. At the time, I called it Services, Eagle Support Services. And so we always had that in my mind, that I'm going to have a business someday that's going to call it Eagle Support Services. And so then we moved back here to Michigan, or back here to West Virginia, back in 1987, and bought a house in Kingwood. We still live there. And of course, when it's been over 30 years, we got it paid for. But anyway, I want Eagle Support Ministry, actually, when I came to West Virginia, turned into Eagle Support Ministry. Because driving truck, meeting people across the country, and then working as a diesel mechanic when I was in Michigan, I got the desire to, it felt good to help people. And I seen that. And that's what my ministry is all about, is helping people. There's a lot of elderly that's living in their home. Their homes are falling down around them. They can't afford to fix them. Nobody to fix them. Their kids kind of disown them. And they stay away. And my desire is, because I know the contractor work, I know what things cost, I want to be able to get a contractor to come in, give an estimate on that job, and I want to oversee it, make sure it gets done, and I want to pay him through Eagle Support Ministry. So that's what my goal is. I don't care to be rich myself. I don't need the extra money. I got Social Security and need a little bit more on that, but once that, you know, it takes care of us. It's all I care. Don't care to have a big fancy house or a big fancy car, but I just want to help people. So that's what my ministry is about. I took it online back in 2000. Is when I started my business, or my Eagle Support Ministry is registered in the state of West Virginia as a ministry. And so in, this is my train of thought here. So anyway, with the ministry, my goal is to help others. And I was told by this guy and friend of mine in California, never met him, but we talked on the phone. If I call him, he'll answer today. I mean, he's always there. And he told me, he said, you can't mix business and religion together. I disagree with that. And 2 years ago, I just give it all to the Lord, because I couldn't do it myself. And I give it to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I said, you've got to do this. I can't do it. I do some direct mailing with the business, and I do the direct mailing, but, you know, once that goes in the mailbox, I have no control over it. But God does. He can work in people's hearts and lives out there. So anyway, what I did was I made a track. Everybody here tonight's going to leave with this. I have enough that you can have an extra one. But all the tracks that I've seen in the past have a just basic verses on it, and maybe a prayer at the end, and that's it. I kind of went the extra mile, that's why it's so big. And I went the extra mile, and it just follow the numbers on the bottom. I want each one of you to take this home, get by yourself, and read it. Follow the numbers, read every word on it. Because what I've done is I've taken, when it's the book of Romans, the verses that led me to the Lord, and when it talks about believe, I want you to know that that means receive. Receive him. Because I want everybody to know whether they're saved or not. So everybody's going to get this. I need a couple of volunteers. This here's a gift from me to you. Give everybody one of those.
And you got extras if they want.
In the tracks. Somebody take these. If you need more, I got more. But I want everybody to take this home. Like I said, get by yourself and read it. And think about what it says. Know for sure that you're saved. Because you should know tonight, if you died tonight, that you'd go to heaven. I want everybody to know about that. Because it's changed my life. And it can change yours too. If it hasn't already been changed. So anyway, when you start to read that tract, it'll tell you at the bottom there to follow the numbers. If you follow the numbers, it reads in order. And it's the second draft. And if you see mistakes, I'm sorry. I've already changed some of them. So that's all I have to say. And if anybody needs extra ones for people to take, that you want to take home to give to somebody, you're very welcome. I got plenty. So, and then Brother Mike said we'll leave some out on the back table. We'll leave some out there, and you can help yourself to anything that you want. If you've got somebody that you're talking to that doesn't know the Lord and you just know that they don't, take one of these and give it to them. And we also can get them with the church name on them, if something that you like. And so let's have a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you today for the opportunity just to be able to tell people about you. And Lord, I pray that this ministry will continue to grow and continue to be an influence to help others. And we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
Final hymn is number 405. 405.